saw the importance of good works as the evidence of genuine faith. And remember, we're not saved by works, but we are saved to work. And there is a difference. To me, this book is really down earth. It's very practical. It's just as effective today as it was when James wrote it in the mid-40s of the first century. James is the author, and many believe that James is a half-brother of Jesus Christ. And you all understand that Jesus had siblings, right? At least four brothers are mentioned to Jesus. And it says sisters, so we know he had at least two sisters in the family. But James wrote this to the early believers, and God has preserved it for us today because he knows we need these truths in our life. One thing he wrote about, that true faith must be lived out in everyday life by good deeds, especially in the face of trials and persecution. And the second point is this, it's important that we demonstrate a practical, everyday faith. Our faith is not just for Sundays. Our faith is for every single day to help support us and support others. If I had to pick a key verse out of all these 108 verses that James had wrote or written, I would choose chapter 2, verse 26. Where it said, for just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Chapter 2, verse 26. But before I get to the message, I want to share some tidbits with you from the book of James that we could incorporate in our daily life, that we could learn from this morning before we get to that text that we're going to be looking at. The text itself is chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. But there is so much good thing in here, so many good things, I want to share them with you. I mean, if you look back a page to chapter 1, verse 2, it says this, consider it a great joy, my brothers, whenever you experience various trials. Amen? That's what it says. Consider it great joy, my brothers, whenever you experience various trials. My friend, I want to tell you that I have a very joyful life. I've experienced joy beyond measure in such a short period of time. I'm not even 65 yet. I've had a lifetime of joy. And I want you to know that joy is a consistent companion of mine. How about you? James goes on to explain why we should count it all joy. Excuse me. And I'm hoping as we finish this that you'll be able to say the same thing about your life. Look a little bit further to verse 5. Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, anybody here pick that category? Don't speak for others, just speak for yourself. He should ask God, who gives to all generously and without criticizing, and it will be given to him. Now, that's a great promise right there. How many of you got finals coming up soon? Pray for that. Ask God. Ask God to help you retain those things that you're studying. Ooh, you mean he doesn't just give it to us? Yeah, we've got our part to do as well. Verse 22, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. It's been said, knowing is half the battle. But knowing without doing is sin. James went on to say in chapter 4, verse 17, so it is sin for the person who knows to do what is good and doesn't do it. Do we understand that? For those of us who know what is good to do, what is the right thing to do, and if we don't do that, God says it's sin. There is wise counsel to not be lazy in doing good. It means that we serve where we can. It means that we utilize our gifts for God's kingdom. It means that we give our time, our talent, as well as our tithes. It means that retirement for the Christian only comes when God calls us home to heaven. And it means that we need to make time for scripture reading. We need to make time for prayer. We need to make time for Bible study. We need to make time for worship. says, do not complain about one another. Maybe you need to underline that. Brothers, do not complain about one another so that you will not be judged. Look, the judge stands at the door. God is watching. And then a word of promise in verse 14. It says, is any among you sick? He should call for the elders of the church, and they should pray over him after anointing him with olive oil in the name of the Lord. I always have oil with me, just in case somebody wants to come forward and have prayer so I can anoint them, because that's what God's Word says. Prayer is a powerful tool that God has given for us to use. Each of us. We need to use it for ourselves. We need to use it for our family. We need to use it for our friends. We need to use it for our church. In fact, in a few moments from now, I'm going to invite you to take advantage of that time, during our time of invitation, to come and pray, whether it be for yourself, for your family, your friends, or even this church. Now, that was just a preview of the precepts that James has for us. Again, if you have your Bibles open in James chapter 2, beginning at verse 14 through 26, we're going to read down together. If you're able to, please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. James says, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can his faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothes and lacks daily food, and one of you say to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat well, but you don't give them what the body needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith, if it does not have works, is dead by itself. Verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you faith from my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe, and they shudder. 20. Foolish man, are you willing to learn that faith without works is useless? Wasn't Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? You see that faith was acted together with his works, and by works faith was perfected. So the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was accredited to him for righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. Verse 25. And in the same way, wasn't Rahab the prostitute also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by a different route? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Father God, we thank you so much for this day and for this opportunity. We thank you, Lord. performing friendly words without putting action to that just does not cut it. James gave a beautiful illustration here of a religious individual, somebody who would go to church every Sunday, somebody who would be there every Wednesday. When the doors were open, they were there. They were very religious about what they were doing and how they came upon somebody within their community who was in desperate and dire need. They had no clothes. They had no food. You know, there are people out in the cold, freezing and naked around us, if not physically, certainly spiritually speaking. And there are people in our community who are starving because they have no food. We're talking about ministry within our families, in our Sunday school class. You know, and some of the boys had chores. Part of their chores were to take the trash out every evening. And they grumbled about that. And then Jennifer had said, well, just be thankful that that's not your dinner tray that you had to pick through to find food. Like people in our community. Amen. And this religious person who is a witness, who seeks it, I'm so sorry for you. Think your thoughts. And I hope you get some food sooner or later. That's dead faith. If that's where we are, we're not doing ourselves any good. And we're not doing anybody else any good as well. We are not being like Jesus, nor are we following in Jesus' commands. Ever heard the expression that actions speak louder than words? It's especially true of our faith. God doesn't desire us to broadcast our Christianity by words alone. He wants us to back it up with works. He wants us to do something about our faith and do something with our faith. You see, wishful thinking, good intention, failed promises are part of a dead faith. So we need to steer clear of those things. Don't get ensnared with our society's expectations, because God's expectations of us are much higher than what society's are. We have an opportunity to rise above those false promises and those wishful thinkings, to serve and minister as Jesus did and continues to do for us and the rest of the world today. A dead faith. Next, look at verses 18 through 19. This is a devilish faith. This is the kind of faith that's just mere intellectualism. Saving faith involves a commitment to Jesus, which produces works. But here, all that is done is merely acknowledging that there is a God. All I say to that is, whoop-de-doo. There are many who believe in a God, who believe in a higher power, who believe in an entity somewhere out there, yet they have no relationship with Him. It's just like there are many who think they know me. They know of me, but they don't know me. They know I'm a preacher. They know that I'm Stacy's husband. They know I'm a father. They know I'm a grandfather. Yet they really don't know me. They haven't taken time to get to know me or have a friendship or a relationship with me. So it is with God. People acknowledge that He exists, but until they accept and believe and confess Jesus, they can never have a relationship with God. There is only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son, Jesus Himself. I also like what James asked. The demons also believe, and they shudder. Do you tremble at the mention of God's name? Do you have a healthy respect for God? Do you know that one day, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow? God doesn't want us just to admit that He exists. He exists whether we believe it or not. God's desire is to have a relationship with us. And the only way we can do that is through Jesus Christ. counted her as faithful. In God's view, Rahab was equal to Abraham. Can we get that through? Can we understand that? Rahab, the prostitute,